Hey, Smetters.
Hey.
How was your week?
It was good. How was yours?
Oh, you know, another day, another dollar.
Well, we did watch a new show this week.
Yes, we did.
And y'all, it was wonderful. We watched the new series about Dahmer called Dahmer on Netflix.
Yes.
And it was
spectacular
wonderful.
Spectacular performance.
He's awesome.
He did a really good job.
We're talking about Evan Peters, who plays Dahmer. He plays, like, he's in all the American Horror Story shows, and he's so great.
Yeah.
But,
I actually enjoyed that show. Like, it was, had some tense moments, but it was really good. And the thing about it is, I don't want to tell my age or anything, but I remember when that happened. Like, I remember seeing the news where the blue barrels were coming down the steps of human remains and stuff.
I never knew what was going on. I think my mom kind of, like, shielded me from that, I guess, because I never knew about it till I was older.
I mean, I was young, but I still remember that.
Yeah, I remember the OJ case, watching that. But we watched that in school, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Dahmer, I knew nothing about until I got older, obviously, and got into the whole true crime thing and all that. But
this one is the one that eats food and murder documentaries and then, like, oh, now I'm going straight to sleep. It doesn't faze you at all.
It doesn't at all. But I think that's a lot of people now. Like, for some reason, murder documentaries give us comfort.
I want to start watching The First 48 again. Do you know that show?
No.
It's about a murder, and it's like the first 48 hours after it's happened, them trying to figure stuff out.
See, here's my thing about watching shows like this with you, is that I always think I know what's going on, and I'm like, this is going to happen, and then Troy's like, no, this is what's going to, and he always gets it right. Like, he always knows, like, who the killer is. And all that stuff. Like, I will guess somebody, like, who the killer might be. And I'm so off.
Well, they give so many subtle clues. It's really easy to figure out.
I'm so bad at that.
You're not stupid. You just really are not good at thinking.
That's my new favorite thing. You're not an idiot. You just don't know how to think. but, yeah, also, you had shown me that the reviews on Dahmer, people were saying how they had to stop watching it because it turned their stomach. Seriously, y'all, it's about a guy who eats people and murders people and does experiments on people. What did you think you were getting?
And plus, I mean, I'm sure you've watched a lot worse on movies.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah. Let's think about this. But yeah, it was wonderful. I really liked it. It seemed pretty accurate. And then I also found out, I was telling Troy while we were watching it, they have Dahmer tours. And we started looking at them, not to do one, but just to see what they consist of, you know. And one of them takes you to the site of where he met seven of his victims. And then at the very end, you get to eat dinner in his apartment. Which, I don't know how, because they condemned the apartments after the whole thing. Like, they bulldozed them down, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if they've, like, remade his apartment with all his stuff in it. But you get to go and eat dinner in there, which I thought was a little much. Which got me thinking, like, what would they serve for dinner at Dahmer's place? Like, I guess fried chicken. What would you think?
I have no idea. I wouldn't eat anything in there.
No, I wouldn't eat anything, but I feel like they would serve, like, fried chicken.
I wouldn't even go there. I mean, the horror that took place.
Yeah, like, that's just such bad vibes.
But, anywho.
Anyway, it did kind of get us going, and Ashlyn. I asked my little girl this week, and I was like, what do you think we should do on the show this week? And, like, without missing a beat, she said, you should do the Russian sleep experiment. And I was like, I will, because you said that. Which, then we started watching Dahmer, and he started doing human experimentation.
Trying to make people zombies and shit.
Yeah, which, that's what we've made the show about. Human experiments. So we're going to go over the Russian sleep experiment first. And then we are going to go over some of the world's most famous human experimentation. This will probably be a long one tonight, guys. So strap in and get ready because it's going to get pretty gruesome too.
Strap in, folks.
Strap in.
Stick your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye.
Where do you come up with these
things? I'm clever and quick-witted.
You are. You really are. Hey, Troy, I can say something and he's like, oh yeah, well blah, 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 and make me feel like a total idiot. But then I'll argue with him and like the next day I'll be like, oh man, I should have said this, and then he really would have felt stupid. But yeah, he's so quick, as our kids are. So every time I try to get them in trouble, they're like, really? Well, you said this. And I'm like, shoot. But okay, here we go. The Russian sleep experiment. And you haven't heard this before, have you?
I've heard about it, but I don't remember.
Okay. So I've been so excited about this story because, y'all, it is insane. So
Carmen Bra.
Let's dive on in.
Dive on in.
Russian researchers in the late 1940s kept five people awake for 15 days using an experimental gas-based stimulant. They were kept in a sealed environment to carefully monitor their oxygen intake so the gas didn't kill them, since it was toxic in high concentrations. This was before closed circuit cameras, so they had only microphones and 5-inch thick glass porthole size windows in the chamber. So, where was I?
You just started.
I know. In the chamber to monitor them. Sorry, y'all. I started thinking of Stranger Things about the research laboratory and how, okay, anyway. So the chamber was stocked with books, cots to sleep on, but no bedding, running water and toilet, and enough dried food to last all five for over a month. The test subjects were political prisoners deemed enemies of the state during World War II. Everything was fine for the first 5 days. The subjects hardly complained, having been promised falsely that they would be freed if they submitted to the test and did not sleep for 30 days. Their conversations and activities were monitored, and it was noted that they continued to talk about increasingly traumatic incidents in their past. The general tone of their conversations took on a darker aspect after the 4-day mark. After 5 days, they started to complain about the circumstances and events that led them to where they were and started to demonstrate severe paranoia. They stopped talking to each other and began alternately whispering to the microphones on the one-way mirrored portholes. Oddly, they all seemed to think they could win the trust of the experimenters by turning over their comrades, the other subjects in captivity with them. At first, the researchers suspected this was an effect of the gas itself. After 9 days, the first of them started screaming. He ran the length of the chamber repeatedly, yelling at the top of his lungs for 3 hours straight. He continued attempting to scream, but was only able to produce occasional squeaks. The researchers postulated that he had physically torn his vocal cords. The most surprising thing about this behavior is how the other captives reacted to it, or rather, didn't react at all. They continued whispering to the microphones until the second of the captives started to scream. The two non-screaming captives took the books apart, smeared page after page with their own feces, and pasted them calmly over the glass portals. The screaming promptly stopped. So did the whispering to the microphones. Right? After 3 more days passed, the researchers checked the microphones hourly to make sure they were working, since they thought it was impossible that no sound could be coming with five people inside. the oxygen consumption in the chamber indicated that all five must still be alive. In fact, it was the amount of oxygen five people would consume at a very heavy level of strenuous exercise. On the morning of the 14th day, the researchers did something they said they would not do to get a reaction from the captives. They used the intercom inside the chamber, hoping to provoke any response from the captives they were afraid were either dead or vegetables. So, by the 14th day, they were sitting there in total silence, y'all. Nobody was talking. They covered all the windows with pages from books so they couldn't see inside. So, by this time, the researchers have no idea what's going on. You know, nobody has any idea what's going on. So, the researchers announced, "We're opening the chamber to test the microphones. Step away from the door and lie flat on the floor or you will be shot. Compliance will earn one of you your immediate freedom." To their surprise, they heard a single phrase in a calm voice response. "We no longer want to be freed." Debate broke out among the researchers and the military forces funding the research. Unable to provoke any more response using the intercom, it was finally decided to open the chamber at midnight on the 15th day. That's very dramatic. Mm-hmm. The chamber was flushed of the stimulant gas and filled with fresh air, and immediately voices from the microphones began to object. Three different voices began begging as if pleading for the life of loved ones to turn the gas back on. The chamber was open and soldiers sent in to retrieve the test subjects. They began to scream louder than ever, and so did the soldiers when they saw what was inside. Four of the five subjects were still alive. Although no one could rightly call the state that any of them were in, life. Food rations past day five had not been so much as touched. So it's been 15 days and they haven't eaten any of the food past day five.
The longest recorded days of someone not going out, going with sleep is 11 days.
Well, this
only one, after three or four nights without sleep, though, mm-hmm. you can start to hallucinate. And then during that period, you also can have cognitive impairments, irritability, delusions, paranoia, and psychosis. That's just 3 to 4 days.
Yeah. And this one, they have that stimulant to keep them awake. Oh. So, as I said, the food rations had not been touched after day five. There were chunks of meat from the dead test subjects' thighs and chest stuffed into the drain in the center of the chamber, blocking the drain and allowing 4 inches of water to accumulate on the floor. Precisely how much of the water on the floor was actually blood was never determined. All four surviving test subjects also had large portions of muscle and skin torn away from their bodies. The destruction of flesh and exposed bone on their fingertips indicated that the wounds were inflicted by hand, not with teeth, as the researchers initially thought. Closer examination of the position and angles of the wounds indicated that most, if not all of them, were self-inflicted. Abdominal organs below the rib cage of all four test subjects had been removed, while the heart, lungs, and diaphragm remained in place. The skin and most of the muscles attached to the ribs had been ripped off, exposing the lungs through the rib cage. All the blood vessels and organs remained intact. They had just been taken out and laid on the floor, fanning out around the eviscerated but still living bodies of the subjects. The digestive tract of all four could be seen to be working, digesting food. It quickly became apparent that what they were digesting was their own flesh that they had ripped off and eaten over the course of days. Most of the soldiers were Russian special operatives at the facility, but still many refused to return to the chamber to remove the test subjects. They continued to scream to be left in the chamber and alternately begged and demanded that the gas be turned back on, lest they fall asleep. To everyone's surprise, the test subject put up a fierce fight in the process of being removed from the chamber. One of the Russian soldiers died from having his throat ripped out. Another was gravely injured by having his testicles ripped off and an artery in his leg severed by one of the subject's teeth. Another 5 of the soldiers lost their lives if you count the ones that committed suicide in the weeks following the incident. In the struggle, one of the 4 living subjects had his spleen ruptured and he bled out almost immediately. The medical researchers attempted to sedate him, but this proved impossible. He was injected with more than 10 times the human dose of a morphine derivative and still fought like a cornered animal, breaking the ribs and arms of one doctor. When heart was seen to beat for a full 2 minutes after he had bled out to the point, there was more air in his vascular system than blood. Even after it stopped, he continued to scream and flail for another 3 minutes, struggling to attack anyone in reach, and just repeated the word "more" over and over, weaker and weaker, until he finally fell silent. The surviving 3 test subjects were heavily restrained and moved to a medical facility. The 2 with intact vocal cords continuously begging for the gas, demanding to be kept awake. The most injured of the 3 was taken to the only surgical operating room that the facility had. In the process of preparing the subject to have his organs placed back within his body, it was found that he was effectively immune to the sedative they had given him to prepare him for surgery. He fought furiously against his restraints when the anesthetic gas was brought out to put him under. He managed to tear most of the way through a 4-inch wide leather strap on one wrist, even through the weight of a 200-pound soldier holding that wrist as well. It took only a little more anesthetic than normal to put him under, and the instant his eyelids fluttered closed, his heart stopped. In the autopsy of the test subject that died on the operating table, it was found that his blood had tripled the normal level of oxygen. His muscles that were still attached to his skeleton were badly torn, and he had broken 9 bones in his struggle to not be subdued. Most of them were from the force of his own muscles that had exerted on them. The second survivor had been the first of the group of 5 to start screaming. His vocal cords destroyed, he was unable to beg or object to surgery, and he only reacted by shaking his head violently in disapproval when the anesthetic gas was brought near him. He shook his head yes when someone suggested reluctantly they try the surgery without anesthetic, and did not react for the entire 6-hour procedure of replacing his abdominal organs and attempting to cover them with what remained of his skin. The surgeon presiding stated repeatedly that it should be medically possible for the patient to still be alive. One terrified nurse assisting the surgery stated that she had seen the patient's mouth curl into a smile several times whenever their eyes met. That is terrifying.
Very.
He had nothing to numb the pain while they were doing the surgery, y'all. And he loved it. And when he looked at the nurse, he would smile every time. That's so scary. When the surgery ended, the subject looked at the surgeon and began to wheeze loudly, attempting to talk while struggling. Assuming this must be something of drastic importance, the surgeon had a pen and pad fetched so the patient could write his message. It was simple. It said, "Keep cutting." The other 2 test subjects were given the same surgery, both without anesthetic as well. Although they had to be injected with the paralytic for the duration of the operation, the surgeon found it impossible to perform the operation while the patients laughed continuously. Once paralyzed, the subjects could only follow the attending researchers with their eyes. The paralytic cleared their system in an abnormally short period of time, and they were soon trying to escape their bonds. The moment they could speak, they were again asking for the stimulant gas. The researchers tried asking why they had injured themselves, why they had ripped out their own guts, and why they wanted to be given the gas again. Only one response was given: I must remain awake. All three subjects' restraints were reinforced and they were placed back into the chamber awaiting determination as to what should be done with them. The researchers, facing the wrath of the military benefactors for having failed the stated goals of their project, considered euthanizing the surviving subjects. The commanding officer, an ex-KGB, instead saw potential and wanted to see what would happen if they were put back on the gas. The researchers strongly objected, but they were eventually overruled. In preparation for being sealed in the chamber again, the subjects were connected to an EEG monitor and had their restraints padded for long-term confinement. To everyone's surprise, all three stopped struggling the moment it was let slip that they were going back on the gas. It was obvious that at this point, all three were putting up a great struggle to stay awake. One of the subjects that could speak was humming loudly and continuously. The mute subject was straining his legs against the leather bonds with all his might, first left, then right, then left again, for something to focus on. The remaining subject was holding his head off his pillow and blinking rapidly. Having been the first to be wired for EEG, most of the researchers were monitoring his brain waves with surprise. They were normal most of the time, but sometimes flatlined inexplicably. It looked as if he were repeatedly suffering brain death before returning to normal. As they focused on paper scrolling out of the brainwave monitor, only one nurse saw his eyes slit shut, and at the same moment his head hit the pillow. His brainwaves immediately changed to that of a deep sleep, then flatlined for the last time as his heart simultaneously stopped. The only remaining subject that could speak started screaming to be sealed in now. His brainwaves showed the same flatline as one who had just died from falling asleep. The commander gave the order to seal the chamber with both subjects inside, as well as three researchers. One of them, named Three, immediately drew his gun and shot the commander point blank between the eyes, then turned the gun on the mute subject and blew his brains out as well. He pointed his gun at the remaining subject, still restrained to a bed, as the remaining members of the medical and research team fled the room. "I won't be locked in here with these things, not with you," he screamed. The man strapped to the table. "What are you?" he demanded. "I must know." The subject smiled. Have you forgotten so easily? The subject asked. "We're you. We're the madness that lurks within you all, begging to be free at every moment in your deepest animal mind. We're what you hide from in your beds every night. We're what you sedate into silence and paralysis when you go to nocturnal haven where we cannot tread." The researchers paused, then aimed at the subject's heart and fired. The EEG flatlined as the subject weakly choked out, "So nearly free." And that's the end.
Damn. That's crazy.
That is such a scary story.
Hell yeah, it is.
Hell yeah. But you know what?
What?
It's an urban legend.
What?
Yes.
You just podcast fucked my head?
I did podcast fuck your head. Y'all, I read this story and I didn't know what to think. And then I found out it was a creepypasta, but it is an urban legend and it's such a great story, but it is a great story. It does come from true events though. But the reason that it could not be true, there's several reasons. It didn't make sense for scientists to leave the subject or to let the subject stay in their chamber for several days without observation. Scientists cannot do that, y'all, unless they're just crazy scientists, mad scientists. There is no such thing as a gas that can stop humans from falling asleep. It's not currently known in science at all. And if
what
you
about the stuff under the nose that wakes people up?
The smelling salts, but they don't have it in a gas form where they can just blow it in and just keep you awake. Also, if you tear away your skin, you will die from blood loss. Unless the gas turn the subjects into a quasi-immortal creature.
What? I'm a immortal.
I've been telling everybody that I've talked to all week, I'm like, please listen to this story. It's terrifying. And it is terrifying. But we're going to go talk about some real-life human experiments that have happened in history. And these are awful. There is one, as I said, that came close. It is called Chimera. And Chimera was, the prisoners were the victims in a deadly experiment. The intention was to produce a tasteless and odorless poison that couldn't be detected post-mortem. Prisoners were unwillingly brought to a secret laboratory of the Soviet Union known as Chimera or the cell. And these prisoners were given ricin, is it ricin?
Something like that.
And mustard gas containing substances, digitoxin, is that right? Okay. I don't know these words. Carrere and cyanide with meals and beverages as a medication. The secret police were finally able to produce their dream poison, which they named C2. This poison causes physical change in the victims, and they become weakened and eventually die within 15 minutes. Many of the prisoners died in this horrific medical experiment. So that was the closest I could find to the Russian sleep experiment, was with any kind of gas like that, just so it couldn't be detected. Now, we have another one, and this is pretty much all over the world because this takes place in Alabama. It is the Tuskegee syphilis study. And this horrific medical experiment was conducted in Tuskegee, Alabama in 1932. At the time, the treatment for syphilis, a sexually transmitted disease that causes pain, insanity, suffering, and ultimately death, was toxic and futile. Futile. I'm learning things too. Mercury was used as a treatment, but mercury itself is a toxic compound that causes kidney failure. It also causes tooth loss, mouth ulcers, and death.
Mercury will kill you.
Yeah. A team of government-funded doctors decided not to treat the disease to see if no treatment was better. The study was funded for 6 months. However, it went on without funding for more than 40 years. This horrific experiment denied treatment to 399 syphilitic patients. Most of them were poor, illiterate African-American men. Even after the emergence of penicillin as an efficacious treatment, these patients were either denied treatment or were given placebos. Due to this horrific experiment, most of the subjects eventually died. So, in that case, they came out with a treatment that was so simple, and they still wouldn't give it to them. Right?
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Let's see. Next, we have Project 4.1. This was designation of a cruel and horrific medial study performed on the inhabitants of the Marshall Islands. These natives were exposed to nuclear radiation fallout from the Castle Bravo nuclear test at Bikini Atoll. This nuclear test had an unexpectedly large yield. Instead of warning the residents of the radiation, the U.S. government decided to stay quiet and to observe the effects of the radiation for research purposes. This exposure increased miscarriages and stillbirths. Many of the children carried to term and had developmental issue problems. One third of the islanders developed tumors and died due to the negative effects of the nuclear radiation. That's like, they dropped it on him, and then instead of telling him, they watched him to see what happened. That's so cruel.
Yeah, I'm sure there's crazy stuff that's happened to people.
Well, we've got more. Agent Orange Experiments. Dr. Albert Kligman, in collaboration with Dow Chemicals and the U.S. Army, conducted a horrific medical experiment. This research was performed under the guise of dermatological research, but it was actually a study of effects of Agent Orange on humans. Many prisoners were injected with a byproduct of Agent Orange known as dioxin. Aftermaths of this were prisoners with volcanic eruptions of chloracne, intense acne combined with pustules, cysts, blackheads, etc., in the armpits, groin, and on the face. At the end of the study, the prisoners continued to suffer from the effects of the Agent Orange. That's terrible. Mm-hmm. That's so bad. Okay, we have the Guatemalan syphilis study. The victims of the Tuskegee study were not the only victims of morally abominable studies related to syphilis. Where was I? Guatemalans were also affected by experimentation related to this disease. Penicillin emerged as an effective cure for syphilis in 1947. In order to test its effectiveness, the government turned to syphilitic prostitutes, prison inmates, mental patients, and soldiers. They were made subjects of this horrific experiment without any consent or knowledge. Some of them were given penicillin to see if it worked, and some of them were not. Almost 1,500 of the people fell into the latter category. More than 80 people died due to the experiment. The Cincinnati radiation experiment. We've only got a few more. During the time of the Cold War, both the U.S. and Soviet Union were eager to discover whether or not the human body could survive a nuclear attack. This cruel experiment was also performed on African Americans. From 1960 to 1971, Dr. Eugene Sanger, a radiologist, exposed more than 88 cancer patients to heavy amount of radiation. These people were unaware that the experiment was funded by the Pentagon. They were told that the experiment was a treatment that could potentially help cure them. Patients were exposed to radiation for an hour. Nausea, vomiting, and mental confusion were side effects of exposure to radiation and was experienced by all of the patients. Most of them died of radiation poisoning. And I'll look this one up on, you know, I wanted to look a little bit more into it. And it said, you know, how they were exposed to radiation for an hour. It said it was the equivalent of having 20,000 x-rays done in an hour. Damn. So, yeah.
I don't know how those affect people, because at the hospital, you know, the doctors are like, or the radiologists are like, here, it's completely safe, and they put you on the table, and they take badass off running. Fastest fat boy.
I mean, I guess that's why radiologists get paid so well, though, because they're constantly,
they hide behind the lead thing.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so now we have the Aversion Project. Gay men were not welcome in the South African military. It was another cruel experiment performed to get rid of the gay population. All the homosexuals were sent to military hospital near Pretoria. These victims were subjected to electric shock therapy and chemical castrations to cure them of their so-called sexual condition. Men were put through sex change operations against their will. Gender reassignment was often incomplete, and the victims were cast off to the outer world. Hmm. Could you imagine?
No.
That makes me sick. All of these make me sick. And then finally, we have World War II, and this is probably just going to be like a list of things because there was so much going on during World War II. The Nazis really liked to experiment. So, it was considered to be the heyday of evil experiments. Many prisoners were subjected to streptococcus, tetanus, and gas gangrene. Glass particles and woods were inserted deep into the wounds of prisoners. A woman had her breast tied with a string to see how long her breastfeeding child could last without feeding. The Japanese killed more than 200,000 people in numerous experiments. Wounds were opened and attended to without any anesthesia. Nazi doctors performed genetically altering experiments on Jewish children. And thousands of people endured pain beyond description. I also heard in World War II, like, the Nazis would get twins and do experiments on them to see, like, they'd put dye in one of the twins' eye and see if the other twins' eyes would change color, and or they would, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just terrible, awful things like that. And human experimentation is just, it's no joke whatsoever. It's a dirty, dirty thing to do. And it's just, it's disgusting.
Agree.
I hope so. But yes, that is pretty much it, y'all. Our human experiment. I guess we need to thank Dahmer and our daughter for that.
Weird.
And in case y'all didn't know, we keep mentioning Dahmer on that. He would drug his victims and drill a hole and put different chemicals inside their head to try to make them zombie sex slaves. So he was also into human experimentation. But yes, this was kind of a gruesome episode, wasn't it?
Yeah. It definitely was a PG-13.
It was not. But I did want to get the Russian sleep experiment out there. I think it's a fantastic story. And I believe it was, it's on, if y'all want the app for Creepypod, it's a really cool app. It's just got scary stories that people write. You can get the app for free, Creepypasta. And there's, you can look up what stories you want to know about, and it has the Russian sleep experiment on there. It's got a bunch of cool stories. Maybe we'll start doing a creepypasta every now and then, because they're so scary. I've heard several different ones, and that's where Slenderman originated as well, was creepypasta, and kind of came to life from that. But you know, it's been a creepy little episode, so I hope we didn't creep y'all out too much or gross you guys out. Just letting y'all know a little bit of history of what this world's gone through and what we're trying to do better, I hope.
I would hope so.
I mean, that's just... Well, I mean, if you think about it, the experiments, it's not that long ago, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, I hope we're doing better. Everybody be nice to each other. Don't do experiments on each other. You have anything you need to say?
No, not really.
Really don't know how to end on this note. But you guys, I hope you had fun. I hope you enjoyed the stories. Join us back Sunday. It is
Sunday.
Sunday is going to be a Troy episode.
No, it's not.
You came up with this episode idea, and I love it. And it's going to be something a little bit different, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and we have Troy to thank for that. So
you have Troy to thank for a lot.
I do. Thank you. All right, guys. Have a great week. Make good choices. Stay hydrated. And it is spooky season. Bye, y'all.
Yeah, you're going to a haunted house.
I hope so. We're supposed to be going to a haunted house next week. I'm taking our daughter and her boyfriend, so I never know if we're going or not, because they like to fight a lot. So, you know, this week I'm not so sure. Next week we probably will be, so there's that. But as I said, you guys have a wonderful, fantastic week. Be great to each other, and we will see y'all next week. Bye, guys.